Welcome to the July 12, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled Power Play. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, choir. We're going to see if the sanctuary can be louder than that. Good morning. You are awake. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church, and we are pleased that you have joined us for worship this morning. Several announcements that we'll make before we get started in worship. First off, we want to find out members and guests who are here today. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite you, members and guests alike, to take that, put your name down, any contact information, and check the appropriate boxes. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. Guests, this is a way for us to get your information. Please feel free not to put it, but we'd love to have it if you feel comfortable doing that for us. We do ask, once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started. Members, this gives you a chance to find out the name of a guest that's on your pew. Introduce yourself at the end of the service. We do ask, once it gets back, the pew pad gets back to the where it got started, that first person could take out the pages that were used today, that will help our ushers at the end of the service. A few announcements that we'll make. Today we are having children's celebration. This is a time when our children leave the sanctuary and they go to our fellowship hall, to Smith Hall, for the remainder of the service. That is happening today. They will leave at hymn number 210, My Jesus, I Love Thee. So as soon as the song starts, kids will come down and they will head out to Smith Hall, and that's where they can be picked up at the end of the service. Reminder to our family ministry team and our youth council, we are meeting today at 4 o'clock in Adult 3. This is our monthly planning session. We have several things to talk about today at 4 o'clock. But just before that, at 3 o'clock, the church is invited to an Eagle ceremony. Our own Nathan Cobbler and James Edmonds are receiving their Eagle Scout Award today, and we are going to celebrate with them at 3 o'clock in Smith Hall. So we hope that you come. There will be cake and punch. So there you need to come and eat all the goodies and enjoy this great celebration of what these two young men have done. So we hope that you come for that. Let's see. Also tonight at 7 o'clock, is our live service, which is our contemporary service. This one will be a special edition. Sarah Patterson, our own, who she went to Africa for 9 months on a mission experience. She's going to come tonight at 7 o'clock. She's going to provide some music. She's going to be talking about her trip and the experiences that she had. And so we want to come at 7 o'clock tonight in Smith Hall to hear what she has to say and to celebrate what God did through Sarah this past year. Another announcement about College Parkers. You're meeting this Thursday at 11:30. It will be a hot dog picnic. You don't need to bring any food this time. Just come at 11:30 for all College Parkers. That will happen this Thursday. Let me see. I think that's all the announcements, right?
You'll see on the upcoming events also a special note, the second one from the bottom, where it says a called conference will be Sunday morning, July 26th. I just want to make you aware of the fact that this week you will receive a letter that will be kind of outlining the progress that we've been making in terms of looking at building renovation and possible additions. And that letter will kind of outline that process for you. And so you will know the called conference on the 26th. Will be a motion that will be brought from the Architectural Fundraising Committee to enter into a capital campaign, primarily to look at renovations, but also with the possibility of possible additions to our physical plant. But all of that will be outlined in the letter. But wanted you to know that was coming. So when you see that letter come in from the church, you won't toss it on the side and say, I'll read that later. Go ahead and open it up and read it, and be sure and call us if you have any questions. Thank you.
You'll find many other announcements there listed under upcoming events and on the back for opportunities for the week. Many things are happening in the life of our church, and we appreciate all the people that are working so hard to make all the opportunities available to our church. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You have already given us your information in the pew pads a few moments ago. And we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They'd like to give you something. If you would just raise your hand, if you're a guest this morning, just raise your hand. They will pass you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation, as well as some information, a newsletter, and the story of College Park, several things that will let you know a little bit about us. We appreciate you joining us for worship this day. It is time for us to join our hearts and our minds and our souls and our bodies together as we worship God in spirit and truth, because He is alive and He is well and He is working in our world, and He has a message for you and for me today. Let us prepare our hearts to what He's going to do. Pray with me. Father, that is what we cry. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord Almighty. Ruler of heaven and earth. The one who gives us life and life everlasting. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is only through Him, through His death on the cross, His resurrection from the grave. Only through Him are we able to stand before You as broken vessels, as hurt people, people who sin, people in which darkness stays so long. Only through Christ are we able to come and stand in Your presence, to worship You in this place. So it is by Your strength and by Your mercy that we have been given this opportunity to be in this sanctuary today. Hear us as we worship You. Hear us as we try to give You the praise that You deserve. Help us to focus and to listen. For the world is noisy and wants to distract us. But we are here today. And we are ready to be in Your presence. For we pray all these things in Christ's holy and most precious name. Amen.
Worship
our Savior,
the Almighty God.
Focus
on Him.
Communicate with Christ,
the great creator,
the white comforter.
Celebrate His presence,
His love,
His sacrifice.
Express gratitude,
love,
devotion.
Reflect on His goodness,
His greatness,
His power.
Listen,
respond,
discover what He is doing.
Worship Him today.
Thank you.
Our scripture text for this morning comes first from the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 86. I'll be reading verses 8 through 13 from Psalm 86. And if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close to you. From Psalm 86, 8. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. And from the New Testament, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter of Ephesians, beginning in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word.
God, my God, I cry out, your beloved need to now. God, be near and calm my fear and take my doubt. Your kindness is what pulls me up. Your love is all that draws me in. I will lift my eyes to the maker of the mountains I can climb. I will lift my eyes to the calmer of the ocean raging wild. I will lift my eyes to the healer of the hurt I hold inside. I will lift my eyes to God, my God, let mercy sing a melody over me. God, right here, all I bring is all of me. Your kindness is what pulls me up. Your love is all that draws. so hold me now. I will lift my eyes to the Maker of the mountains I can climb. I will lift my eyes to the calmer of the ocean's raging wild. I will lift my eyes to the healer of the hurt I hold inside. I will lift my eyes, lift my eyes to you.
Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, for the opportunity to stand in this place and offer a prayer to you, I thank you. As we sit here this morning, Lord, during worship and think about what this first day of the week means for us, as we look ahead to a new week and we look back at the week past, it all starts and ends, Lord, with you. Not only do we have every reason to sing and every reason to lift our eyes to you, Lord, let that be a word for us this week and a prayer for us this week. We don't know what's to come, Lord. Only you know what lies ahead of us today and tomorrow and the days ahead this week. But what we do know in our hearts is that it's going to start, it's going to end with you. Let us lift our eyes to you. Let us lift our hearts and our minds to you, so that whatever we're experiencing this week, good or bad, easy or difficult, complicated or simple, we start with you, Lord, and go from there. Lord, for this week, my prayer is that we, as people who believe in you and intend to do good, but get sidetracked along the way sometimes, Lord, my prayer is that with your help, that we can keep it simple this week, that we can keep our minds open to you, that we can keep our hearts open to you for what you're calling us to do. Help us to hear it, Lord. Help us to understand what you're calling us to do, which is probably something that's not 100 different things, but it's probably just one thing. Help us to understand. Help us to take that to heart. Even when we may be getting bogged down by other things, help us to lift our eyes to you, to look above the clutter, to look above the mess, to look above the smoke and the fire, to see clearly what the word is that's coming down from you for us to do this week. We're a people created by you, created to serve you, created to do good in your name. Help us to understand that, Lord. Lord, for the times this week that we're going to get stressed, Lord, help us to look up to you, to trust you with it. For the times that we're going to be fearful or scared or disappointed or hurt, let us lift up our eyes to you and put it to you. For the times that we're going to be in pain, in physical anguish, let us lift that up to you, Lord, and put it to you. For the tough decisions that we may have to make this week about jobs or family or relationships, things that we're not sure, help us to put it to you, not try to do it ourselves, but to put it to you. For whatever comes at us, Lord, this week, help us to be open to you, to seek your guidance, to seek what you're calling us to do, to keep it simple, Lord. And in all these things, Lord, we'd be remiss if we didn't issue a word of thanksgiving to you for loving us the way you do, for remaining steadfast to us the way that you do, without giving up on us, even though our attendance record and our track record and our resumes don't look very good when it comes to following you in every aspect of our lives. Help that to change, because this week can be different than last week. This week can be a joy and a blessing and an opportunity to serve you and to be who you created us to be. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Pray with me. Hear our prayer of thanksgiving, O Lord, for you calm our fears and take our doubts. Your kindness is what pulls us up, and your love is all that draws us in. Teach us your way so our work and our gifts will bring glory to your name, for great is your love toward us. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
sun, where to stand in the morning. Who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation that spins things in orbit, runs to the weary, the weak, and the worn, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquered death to bring me victory. Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation
this morning. Our lectionary reading comes from Mark chapter 6. I invite you to turn in your Bible if you would. If you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. There should be a pew Bible close by there, so you can follow along with us. I'll begin reading in verse 14, which for those of you that were here last week, you will recognize that basically we're picking up with where we left off at the conclusion of last week's service. So we'll be picking up in verse 14 of Mark chapter 6. It says, King Herod heard about this, and in this he's referring to what we talked about last week, where the disciples were doing many miracles and healing many people. So King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that's why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he's Elijah. And still others claimed he's a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. Then it goes on to give you a little background. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and a holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled. Yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod had a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. And when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guest. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. And once the girl hurried into the king with the request, I want you to give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guest, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. And if you're like me, one of the first things you ask is, what in the world are you going to preach on here? What a grisly tale. Raymond, what are you thinking? What are you going to preach on? And that question came to me numerous times this week. What are you going to preach on? I'm just a little bit relieved that it's children's celebration. The kids are gone and they don't have to hear this stuff. It's an interesting passage, and like I say, it is our lectionary text. It's the gospel lectionary text. So I thought, well, what do we get from this? You know, and as I looked and thought about it, I thought, you know, unfortunately, beheadings really haven't disappeared from our world. You look at this and you think how archaic, how barbaric and all of that, but it still goes on. You know, then, as is now, removing, cutting off an enemy's head is intended to humiliate those from which the victim came, and it's also to prove where power lies. You see, it's a power game. It's a power play. You know, if you think about now, a terrorist or a freedom fighter, if they want to say to a mighty nation that you cannot protect your citizens, what do? They make a public display of cutting off one of those citizens' heads, right? If you think about a ruler, an ancient ruler, even one like we have today in our reading here, even though the ruler may be reluctant, the ruler may carry out an execution by beheading, basically to prove that he can eliminate his critics just like that, anytime he wants. I'm in power. A beheading is a power play carried out on the body of the victim. So the story of John's death seems, in kind of a way, it seems like a digression. I mean, it's a natural progression because it talks about the fact that Herod heard what was going on. Last week we talked about Jesus not being able to do much in his hometown, but the disciples were sent out and they were able to do much under the authority of Jesus. And Herod hears about this, so obviously it's a little bit troubling. So the storyline is a progression, but it seems like a digression because you go from this really up news about the disciples able to do so much, boom, to John being beheaded. And you're like, whoa, Mark, what are you doing here? You know, what's going on? It isn't really clear, I guess, on first reading, how this grisly tale kind of advances the plot of Mark. But we're going to look at it again, and I'm not sure exactly what conclusions we're supposed to draw from that. I was telling Jeff and Sydney were trying to think, okay, how are we going to draw this text into children's celebration? And what are we going to tell the children? What are we going to do? And I said, well, it's pretty obvious to me. I mean, for the children and for all teenage girls here, it's very obvious the lesson here is that dancing leads to murder. And he said, no, we probably can't go there. I'm like, I'm just teasing. Girls, I'm just teasing. Okay, I'm just teasing. The other thing that we might draw from that is, well, you know, never make rash promises to teenagers. I mean, maybe that may be valid. I don't know. But I think we can do a lot better than that. And what we learn from this text. I think if you kind of, and some people have drawn a parallel between this text and thinking about the violent death of Jesus. And there may be something there. Because if you think about it, both John and Jesus die violently at the reluctant order of a Palestinian leader. Interesting, isn't it? You read the text and one of the first things that kind of jumped out at me is, why did Herod suspect a resurrection? You know, you notice his response is, it's John the Baptist. He's come back. Why was that his response? Well, you look at this guy, Herod, in our text, is actually Herod Antipas, who was the son of Herod, one of the sons of Herod the Great. And he had heard what was going on there in the villages. It was good kings kept up to date with what was going on. So he had heard about this. He had heard the rumors. He'd heard the rumors perhaps that it was John the Baptist who had been raised back to life. Presumably they thought that Jesus was John come back to life, kind of enabled by God to do miracles. So that was one theory. Another theory said that this was Elijah who had come back to life to fulfill the prophecy of Malachi, who said that Elijah would come back in the final days before the great judgment day. Others were saying, well, no, it's not really Elijah. It's someone of the line. It's a prophet of the line of Elijah and Elisha. It's not John the Baptist come back to, it's not Elijah proper. It's a new prophet. A new prophet who is going to announce God's news for a new age. Those were the theories. Those were the rumors. But Herod said, no. John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. Now, why would he think that? What's going on in his mind? Mark's narrative tries to answer this question by painting a picture of a ruler, perhaps plagued with guilt, but certainly of a ruler who had a lot of stuff going on in his mind. You know, think about all the directions he's being pulled. First of all, the first consideration he had to deal with was the security of his throne. You see, John's preaching was a political threat because he condemned Herod's marriage to his brother's former wife. Now, for those of you who are kind of studiers and look at this type of thing, you know that the first century Jewish historian Josephus actually said that Herodias was Philip's mother-in-law. Well, instead of his wife, that may not be mutually exclusive. There was some strange stuff went on back then. So you may have mother-in-law slash wife. Yeah, who knows? Who knows what was going on? But our text tells us that it was his wife, so therefore it was improper. Now, a king being Herod Antipas in this place, if he wants to stay in throne, if he wants to stay, you know, in power, he cannot ignore this challenge to his marriage, because if you challenged his marriage and said his marriage was illegitimate, and then therefore his children were illegitimate, therefore the succession, the line of the king, was threatened. So he couldn't ignore that. So he arrested John, threw him in prison, and that's what's going on with this whole threat to his power. The second consideration that was going through his mind is religious in nature. You see, because Herod actually knew, Scripture tells us, he knew John was a holy man. He knew he was a true prophet. John's preaching left the king confused, but convinced.
that he was hearing the words of a righteous man. So he's conflicted about that. The third thing that's going on, the third consideration was internal in his household. His wife wanted John dead, not imprisoned, dead. And so Herod imprisoned John to protect him. So that's all that's going on in this guy's mind. He's trying to balance all this stuff. And then he showed off. He had to show off. He has this big birthday celebration deal. All the big shots from Galilee were there, the military leaders, the religious leaders, everybody was there at the festivities. And he decides to reward his daughter, the dancer, with a big present. Anything you want, up to half the kingdom. Now, the point here that he's trying to convey is this is what a real king looks like. You know, I can reward you. If you treat me right and if you give the proper allegiance to me, I can make it worth your while. If I'll give all of this to a dancer, my daughter, imagine what I would give for you if you're loyal to me. It kind of backfired, though, because the girl asked her mother, and the mother said she wanted John dead, and so Herod, who was bound by his rash oath, said, do it immediately. So that's what's going on in Herod's mind. So later, when all these wonderful things began happening in the villages of the territory, Herod Antipas's guilty conscience, perhaps, made him think that God had raised John from the dead, a divine action to vindicate the prophet and to torment and condemn the king. Can you imagine dealing with that kind of stress? Not just the whole family stuff, but then the thought that God may actually be purposefully tormenting you because of your actions. Second thing maybe that comes to mind as we look at Herod is you can't always get what you want. That'd make a great song title, wouldn't it? You can't always get what you want. To give this story some perspective, look at other biblical beheadings, if you will. You had the whole thing with David and Goliath, right? David knocks him down, goes over there, chops his head off. All right? That's one story. There is an interesting story in the apocryphal book of Judith, which is in ecumenical Bibles, Roman Catholic Bibles, the Old Testament apocryphal book. It's an interesting, very interesting story. It talks about Judith, who is this young lady who ends up decapitating a general, Holofernes, who had become drunk, not only with her beauty, but actually with alcohol. And he's lying there drunk, and this girl goes over and cuts his head off with two whacks. To save her people. There's also the whole thing with Jael killing Sisera in Judges chapter 4. Go back and read that. She doesn't really actually decapitate him. She puts a tent peg in his head, but I thought that kind of qualifies it. It's close. You know, and in these stories, someone who is presumably weak becomes Israel's champion. And the bad guy, the strong guy, loses his head, figuratively or literally speaking. And in our story today, it's kind of a flip of that. The good guy dies because the strong man, the bad guy, is tricked by someone who is presumably weak, as in the teenage daughter. Interesting twist. It's quite a predicament for Herod. Herod Antipas wants to protect his right to rule and to pass that on to his family, so he imprisons John. The message is, big man, powerful king. Because he knows John is right and speaks the truth of God, he in turn protects John in prison from those who want the prophet dead. Message, big man, powerful king. Because he needs to impress an audience with his power and his largesse, he makes a vow to his daughter. Again, the message is, big man, powerful king. But what Herod finds out too late is that even a king can't do everything he wants. You know, it's a lesson that empires just seem unable to learn. And the lesson is that the pursuit of righteousness and the exercise of violence seem to be mutually exclusive. So what do we do? We read this story. What do? We're citizens of the empire. What do? We learn from Mark's vignette. Like Jephthah in Judges 11. Go back and read that story. We made reference to it back several months ago as we were kind of rushing through a history of the Bible in one sermon. But Jephthah in Judges 11 is put in a situation where he is forced to kill someone because that he loves and cares deeply about because he's made an oath. He was rash in making an oath. And the same type of thing has happened to Herod here. So maybe one thing we can learn is don't swear rash oaths. Maybe that's one thing. But push beyond that. Think to yourself, why did Herod have John in prison in the first place? Why was he there? Why, if he knew John was a righteous and a holy man, why didn't he just change his behavior instead of imprisoning his critic? Why didn't he do that? Because in the end, he loves power more than justice. It's good to be king. And for those who threaten the Herodian way of life, he can just set them out of his way. You know, Herod may have been thinking, if anyone comes after me. But push beyond that. If that's what Herod really thinks, why is he concerned about the miracles done by a few poorly dressed and under-provisioned little itinerant preachers that are running around? Why is he threatened by that? Why does it seem like his old nemesis has been resurrected? Because deep down inside, Herod knows you can kill the prophet, but that will not stop the advance of God's word. Silence John, even cut off his head if you want to, but coming after him will be those who are even more passionate about proclaiming God's word. That's one of the central themes of Mark's gospel. Rome can crucify Jesus and all who come with him if they want, signifying power over the body, but they cannot stop the spread of the gospel. That's the message. Ultimate power belongs solely to God. And so for those of us who want to be part of God's kingdom, we have to let go of Caesar's empire. You see, compromises will backfire. Compromises will backfire. Sooner or later, you're going to make a promise that you'll regret having to keep, if that's the game you want to play. And in our story, you can almost hear the challenge of Jesus. Just hear it. It's better to deny yourself, to lose your life by your own choice, than to find yourself complicit in the death of one of God's prophets. So now we find out how it fits. We see how it fits in Mark. Jesus very soon is going to tell the 12 and all those who are following the crowds. He's going to tell them, if you want to follow me, first of all, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross. You see, there comes a point when you must choose between exercising power as the empire understands it or giving up all of that in order to follow Jesus. Mark is telling us, pick the prophet. The empire can kill you, but only God can raise you up. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this story. Even though it's hard to read and it's hard to comprehend all the experiences that John and his followers, as well as Jesus and his followers, what they had to endure. Father, first of all, we're thankful we don't have to endure that kind of persecution. Oh, we may think that we endure persecution for our faith, but we don't know what that even means. And we're thankful for the fact that we don't have to experience that. But Father, we pray that we would learn the lessons anyway. The lesson of what it means to forsake all and follow Jesus. Father, in our heart and minds, help us to understand that is what Jesus requires. Father, help us to understand that should be our first choice. Dear Father, as we have come together now as your children. Touch our hearts. Forgive us where we failed you. Reach down and touch that point in our hearts that needs healing and restoring. Give us courage. Give us strength as we choose to forsake all and follow Christ. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you haven't received Jesus Christ, you don't know what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus, understand that He died for you. He gave all He had for you to have a personal relationship. God gave His only Son to have a relationship with you. And if you don't have that relationship, today is your day to settle that. I'd be glad to share with you. I'm going to be here in the front in just a moment as we stand and sing. I'd be glad to share with you how you can pray to receive Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't want to come forward this morning. Catch me after the service or sometime this week. I'll be glad to share that with you. If you're here this morning and maybe you can, as we've read and as we've talked together, you're recognizing in your own life, God has convicted you at points where He says, you know, you're playing power games. It's about the empire instead of about the kingdom. And if that's you this morning, God wants you to repent from that. He wants to turn that back over to Him and allow Him to heal you and restore you. You can do that where you are. You certainly can come here to the front and pray. I think we'll have some prayer warriors that will be coming and praying, so it would be natural enough if you would like to come and pray here at the front. The altar will be open. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of College Park, there's many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to share those with you if you're interested in that. But whatever your decision is, we invite you to do business with God as we stand and sing together now. You'll take the opportunity before you leave to greet the people around you. If you've not already done that, enjoy the fellowship of Christian brothers and sisters. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house with people that we know and love and appreciate. Father, we pray that the teaching that's taken place today on our spirit would walk with us through this week. Father, allow us to be a source of power and strength to others as your power and strength flows through us. Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.